No, we were at Cebu last weekend, and God did a lot of powerful things. Before I introduce Anna, I think we are in a season, just understand my language a bit, we are in a season that God actually want to show up. That means when you invite, God actually want to manifest His presence in a powerful way. And we saw two powerful testimony. Yvonne, come. Let's welcome Yvonne as she shared the testimony, what happened in Cebu last weekend.
Good morning, everybody. So last weekend we went to Cebu, and God really moved, like He moved crazily. So we went to this street evangelism in a mall. It was a very huge mall. The moment we entered the mall, everybody started looking at us like very weirdly. They like started taking photo of us because we were the only Indians there. So then after that, I just saw this lady. After all the sessions and everything we had in the upstairs, we came down, we saw a lady who couldn't fold her arm, like her palm like that. She couldn't do it. And then we didn't know, but then I just had a word bate in my mind. So I was just looking around, a woman maybe with a bate shirt or someone looking for a bate. Then true enough, when we went there, we saw a woman who's looking for a bate baju. And then we were like, okay, wow, there's a lady here. Then we went to her. She's like, I cannot fold my hand like that. I cannot. Then we said, okay, we're going to trust Jesus. We're going to pray for you. And she's like, oh, I'm a Christian too. Where are you from? And then we told we are from this Cebu church and everything. And then she's like, okay, so you're going to pray for me? Then I said, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. Then, okay, come, let me just pray. Then we prayed. She said it was 10. She couldn't even fold like that. She couldn't even do it. And then she was like, I asked her, how much is the pain? She's like, 10, 10. Then I said, okay, we're going to pray. It's going to go down. And then we prayed. She could fold the three fingers like this. She could do this. And then she's like, this two finger, I can't fold still. Then I was like, okay, I'm going to pray for you again. And then at the time, I was already getting calls. We were like, oh, you're already late. We're already late. And then I was like, oh, okay, we are late. Then by the time we prayed for her, her two fingers was already like that. She could already fold like that. And then I was like, okay, you know what? She told me like my pain already went to 3. Then I said, amen. And then after that, everybody was like calling me. I said, okay, you know what? We're going to pray for you, for your entire body. By the time we leave the place, she could fold a hand. So, yeah.
Come on, isn't that amazing? Come on, let's appreciate Jesus. This happened in the mall, you know. They went, we sent some tips out on the streets. Come on, Kevin, tell us.
Hi, church. So when we were in Cebu, we actually had to disperse to different churches to minister. So I was with Jeff and Crystal, and Yvonne was also with us. And I gave a word of knowledge saying that those who are having trouble sleeping at night. But when I went and prayed for it, was for healing. So it was like kind of like, I thought I was supposed to be praying for people who have sleepless nights, but it's okay. But God told me to go and pray for the pastor of the church. And I was like, okay, and healing some more. He had like a hip pain. Not sure, he was trying to say it's hip. He's trying to say this side. So he was having pain, it was about 8. So I prayed for Pastor. I was praying for him. Then he said, Pastor, how you feel? And he said, he just felt like slowly, he could feel like the pain is from 8, you know. Then when I prayed, after praying, he said it went to 5. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to pray again. And I prayed again, it went to 5. Then I was like, no, God, let's pray again. Went down to 3. Then I was like, God's not a God of partial healing. God's like a complete healer. So I just prayed one last time. I said, God, in the name of Jesus, not 3. I don't want 3. When after I pray, it wants to go to 0. I prayed for him. He finally said, I'm better. It went straight to 0. So praise God for that.
Come on, preacher. Amen. What an amazing God we serve. God is doing miracle. If you feel like, you know, the spirit of testimony, spirit of prophecy, you know, when we share your testimony, that means God wants to do it again. Reach out and receive all the miracles that we shared. I believe God is healing people this morning. Without further ado, I want to introduce our speaker this morning, Hannah Matthews. I almost said Anna Elizabeth. Hannah Matthews, our dear friend of ours. She was raised in Kuwait for many years and then went back to India and did a school in California for a short period of time and then back in India. God is using her powerfully as a leading voice. This is what I told our team. God is using her actually to turn the heart of the bride towards the bridegroom. you know, bringing the alignment of the, you know, of a heart to minister unto the Lord. So let's give a Calvary welcome to her as she ministers to us. Come on.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Praise God. How many of you all are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? All right, before I start, I just want to honor the leaders of this house. Thank you, Pastor Rajan and Pastor Betty, for having me. And of course, for the invitation with which I'm here. Thank you, friends, for having me as well. Let's just lean into Holy Spirit this morning. Just stretch out your hands and say, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me? Holy Spirit, I am available, God. We just lean into your pleasure this morning, God. We just lean into the delight of the Father over his children. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are not a tyrant king, that you are kind. Thank you, God, that you are kind and you are merciful, God. That this morning, that grace is so accessible, God. And you long to give rest to your children. You long to give them rest. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This morning when I woke up with a psalm in my heart, which says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me besides the still waters. Now, why I'm closing my eyes is because I'm imagining this. So please imagine this with me. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, O Lord, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, in the presence of the voices that taunt me day in and day out, in the presence of the accusers. You prepare a table before me in the presence of these enemies. And in front of these people, you anoint my head with oil, saying, chosen one, my beloved. And my cup runneth over, because that is my portion. My cup runneth over, the overflow of his presence. And so surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. For that is our heart's desire, to come to a place of completeness in Him. To come to a place where we are completely still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And let the peace that passes understanding guard your heart, and let it guard your mind. You know, in the year 2014, I was doing an internship with the investment banking company. It was not my cup of tea. Very short-lived, but during that time, I had this dream. My brother and I in our home in India, and kind of like, I saw my mom leaving the house, and it was kind of this weird abstract dream. I saw my mother leaving the house, and I remember my brother's name is Abel, so Abel and I were crying in the dream, and I felt like, you know, obviously when I woke up, that had an insinuation of like, you know, the Lord telling me that that she was going to go, that she was going to, you know, transition to heaven soon. And obviously by that time, she wasn't ill. She was very healthy. She was alive. But I had this dream And the whole dream, actually, so it started off with my mom leaving the house, and the dream ended, I won't tell you the details of it, the dream ended with me being on a joyride. And I feel like that was the Lord showing me the end of my own life. He kind of had the assurance of, you know, Hannah, it's all going to be okay. You know, the thing is, the difference between a God dream and, you know, a demonic dream and a soul dream is that, you know, when you have a dream from the Lord, definitely one is you just wake up with the, oh my gosh, that was definitely a God dream. Another thing is, you know, when you have a God dream, there's always hope, there's always love, and there's always this feeling of being held, safety. You know, no matter what happens, even if there's a negative connotation of, like, you know, in this case, my mother leaving, that dream was filled with hope. You know, that's when you know that that's the Lord. And also it comes with a peace that passes understanding. Okay? So I remember calling my brother up when I was at work and I said, hey. And at that point of time, he was the only one that I would share my prophetic, or rather dreams and whatever giftings with. Like, he was honestly a very safe place. So I remember calling him up and saying, hey, I think, like, this is the dream that I had, and it feels like this is what it feels like this is what it means, you know. I feel like mom's not going to be okay. And he said, it's okay, you know, just pray about it. Like, just discard it, cast it off. And I said, okay. And as you would have it, 4 months later, my dad sends us a text message saying, you know, mom's not doing well. And, you know, she's has final stages of cancer. And, you know, it's any time now. So they were in Kuwait at that point of time, my mom and dad, and my brother and I were in India. So dad decided to bring mom down, because if anything had happened to her in Kuwait, then it would be a little complicated. So he brought her down, and just that entire process, you know, was very, for me, I knew that the Lord had spoken to me saying that this would happen. So obviously it's sad seeing, you know, all of this transpire before her, my eyes, you know, she not being well and seeing her through the process of chemo. And, like, it's really not fun seeing your parent, who is a superhero in your eyes, become weak and vulnerable, you know, especially when you're not ready for it. And so I had to go through that process, but I had this assurance that, okay, God, you've spoken this over me. You've spoken this to me directly. So I just held it in my heart saying, you know, no matter what, everything's going to be okay. And we had people around us, you know, honestly, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I feel like I should. Okay. So we had people around us praying for healing. My mom herself was like, she was so strong in the faith, so strong in the faith. So she would pray and she would war in prayer. My dad was praying that she would be better. My brother was like, no, this is going to happen. You know, she's going to get better. She's going to get out. She conquered this once. She had cancer 5 years prior. And this was a relapse. So in my heart, something, I'm just like, God, I feel like I know. But I'm just going to support them. I'm just going to pray. Like, I didn't want to be the, you know, the odd one out saying, I don't know. I don't think so. It would be not right. So I prayed, and I remember during her final days, the last 2 weeks, I remember showing up, and I'd have these moments with the Lord. I'd just show up and say, God, I don't want to see her in pain. You know, that was the only thing. And I remember once I showed up in the room and everyone around me was praying for healing. I ran up to my room because I couldn't take the emotional pain. I ran up to my room, lay prostrate on the floor, and I said, God, I know you are healer. That's never going to change. But whether you heal her on heaven or whether you heal her on earth, that's your choice. But you are healer. And I prayed that prayer. And as you would have it, 2 days later, my mom went to be with the Lord. And we were all around her, actually. We were our family, my brother, my dad and I, we were all around her. We prayed, we did our final family prayer and all of that. And I remember, you know, I remember having something just fall on me, you know, and I remember just, like, praying over mama as she, like, transitioned. And as my dad wept, my dad is such a soft heart he has, you know, and as my dad wept, you know, he held me, he looked to see if I was okay. And I was, surprisingly, I hadn't, like, burst out then. The only thing in my spirit, when dad looked at me with tears in his eyes was, I said, Appa, it's okay. God is good. God is good. God is good. And that was the only thing resounding in my spirit. It is not natural. It is not natural. But I had the peace of God that passes all understanding. Even so, He is good. Even so, He is still King on the throne. Even though I do not understand it. Even though in this natural life, it does not make sense. God, I thought I had this under control. God, I thought I heard You. I thought You said You are the God of the Bible. You know, You said You would heal. And I claimed on these verses. And He is still good. He is still good. No matter what you do, God does not fall off His throne. He does not stop becoming good. He doesn't say, oops, I didn't see that coming. I'm sorry, my bad. Let's rewind that. You know, He doesn't do that. I feel like, you know, as I was talking as well yesterday, I felt like God wanted me to reiterate the fact that He wants to give peace to your minds and rest to your soul. And I feel like this morning, God just wants to pour water onto your, like, parched, you know, like this thirsty, dry, weary land, you know. Your soul is like, God, I just need a break. I just need a break from my responsibilities for a bit. I just need a break from things that are pulling at me, the people that are pulling at me, life that is pulling at me, God. I feel like God's like, just come and rest, because that's all you... That's the place you need to function from, you know? And I feel like some of y'all, especially this morning, I just felt like there's some of us that are doing things that we do not have grace for. And it's draining you. It's really draining you. So I just invite you this morning also to just lean in and say, God, what are the things that You've given me grace for to do this season? You know, and all these like inspirational TED Talks, they actually make you make a list of what is urgent, what is important, what is like. I'd actually say, you know, God, just lean into God and say, God, what do I have the grace to do? What have You given me the grace for? And then do that. Don't overextend yourself, you know. Be the tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Be the tree. Don't be the gardener. Don't be the shepherd. You know, be the tree. And when the gardener comes, he will snip off or he will prune off the right branch. Sometimes we try to cut off everything all at once. And then we are bare and then we do not know what to do. You know, when the gardener comes, he is kinder to you than you are to yourself. You know, sometimes as a church and like as children, it's very high stakes. You know, God, it has to look like this. God, it has to be stacked up like this and piled up like this. And God's like, calm down, just come sit, let me deal with it, you know? So let Him come. You be the tree, let Him be the gardener, the master pruner, and it's only trees that bear fruit that He prunes. Otherwise, He wouldn't prune you. That goes to show that you are bearing fruit, and so He will come, and He will cut off the right branch, or the right branches, you know, depending on the season. And I believe, especially this church as a body, you are a church that bears fruit in every season. You're a church that bears fruit in every season. Your leaves don't wither, and whatsoever you do will prosper. Whatever you do will prosper. Just be the tree. Just be planted by the water and keep drinking from the well, because God knows we are needy. God knows we are thirsty. God knows we are limited. And then Jesus will come to meet you at the well, and He will offend you with the love that He gives you. He will tell you things that not many people know about you, and you'll be like, God, You saw that? You know that? And then you'll almost feel silly for not taking it to Him sooner. Take it to God in prayer. Take it to God in prayer. I think one of the biggest tactics of the enemy is to keep our mouths shut. You know, especially when we feel like, I haven't done enough. You know, you feel irritated and you feel like, I don't feel my most spiritual today. And then we shut up literally. And that's the biggest tactic of the enemy, is to keep your voice shut, because he knows that when our only requirement with God is to show up in the presence. Show up messy. Show up anyway. It's his job. It's his covenant with you to cover you in the blood and to cleanse you. He wants to wash your feet. He wants to clean you. He's the one that does the cleaning. We show up and say, Daddy, bless this mess, you know? And he does. He's faithful every time, every single time. Don't remain silent. Even if it's just a sigh or a whimper, ensure that even in your mind, you're just sighing to him, because then that's a prayer, you know? Then he recognizes it and says, okay, let's go. She needs me. She doesn't know how to express this. Let's help. Sometimes simple prayers like, God, I need you, or Jesus, help, is the most powerful, you know? Because when you're in the thick of it, sometimes you just don't have the words. He just wants to be involved. He's like this doting father that just wants to be involved in the process, you know? So just involve me. I was saying this the other day, you know? He doesn't get frustrated when we don't get things right. You know, when your child is learning how to walk, like I've heard my dad say this, you know? Like, when your child is learning how to walk, they don't say, okay, you've stood up now, like, quicken the process. They actually appreciate, like, the child walking. Every time the child stands up, it's like they want a Grammy, you know? Like, wow! You know, like, let's celebrate that. Those little chubby legs just trying to wobble through the hall, you know? It's the cutest thing. But sometimes we don't find ourselves cute. And that's a little sad, you know? Like, I'm too grown to be cute, God. I want to be serious and holy before you. That's holy too. You know, in the message somewhere it says, you know, we lay off every ill-fitting garment. You know, we take off every ill-fitting garment and we put on, you know, the clothes that the Lord has given us, you know. We put on his label. Let me see if I can find that actually. Colossians, Corinthians? Huh? Ephesians 4. Thank you, Pastor Rajan. That's the one. That's the one. Let's try that. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:22, is it? Right. Okay, I think it's another. The message has this very, very unique way of putting it. There we go. This is Colossians, sorry. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 was, thank you, Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, okay? Let's do verse 9 onwards, okay? And so I'm reading from the Message translation, so if you want, you can just listen. It says, don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. Jared is convicted there. All right. He's like, oy! All right. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. So imagine wearing clothes that say Jesus Christ on it. Like, oy, that's so good. All the old fashions are now obsolete. So, guys, he's in vogue. Man, words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, Everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. Hallelujah. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength. I love that. I love quiet strength. You know, in South Indian cultures, we don't have a lot of quiet strength. I'm not saying we don't have it at all. We just don't have a lot of it. Especially if you're a South Indian parent, you don't have quiet strength. We have loud strength, which is a chappal flying across, like, you know, you have like a slipper flying across the hall, you know, like, what are you doing? That is not quiet strength. But it takes, again, it takes a lot of strength to also be a parent. I hear that. I understand that. But what is, I just want to touch on quiet strength. Where does that come from? You know, Bill Johnson has this really nice line of saying, peace is quiet joy, and joy is loud peace. I love that. I love that. And quiet strength also reminds me of this, you know, this God confidence. You know, not putting on an air, or not trying to prove that you have it all together. You know, just, I think God confidence is this very admirable trait. I don't have to prove anything to anyone, yet I don't have to put like false humility and say, oh, I'm so humble. Like, that's not even it. It's acknowledging your human condition and also knowing that you are made worth it through Christ Jesus and his blood. So there's no reason why I need to walk into a room with my head stooped down or my back all hunched up. It's, I'm worthy. I'm made worthy through him. And that is God confidence. Not pretending like you have it all together, but knowing that the God of the universe has chosen you. You know, Paul writes and he says, you know, I'm commissioned by the Lord. Y'all didn't choose me, but here I am. I'm commissioned by God. You know, and there's a strength that comes with that, you know. So, quiet strength. Where are we? Yeah, quiet strength and discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Now, to the competitive ones, this is a hard one. You have to be content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. You know, there was a moment after my mom passed in 2015 January, she passed away. So after that, I went through this series of like, I didn't know how to cope, all right? So I went through a bunch of things. And then by 2017, I got my healing. I was accountable to the Lord, to the leaders in my environment. So I'd walked through my journey with the Father. And honestly, like, it didn't, because Dad was away, so I was in India while all this was happening. So as soon as Mom passed, Dad went back to Kuwait. My brother got married. He was in India. I was in India as well. But all three of us were coping very differently with this, you know. And so I was alone, so I coped very differently with this. And I went through my own journey, my own ups and downs, was accountable again. While I pulled myself out of that place to pastors and leaders in the environment. And I was healed, you know, I was healed, I was forgiven, my friends knew what I'd been through, but somehow I never thought of telling my dad. I mean, I could, but it never struck me, you know, because I thought, I mean, dad and I never talk like that, like we never had a heart-to-heart, it's a very did you eat, did you sleep relationship, you know. I know dad loves me, but that is his love language, you know. He still, I mean, till today when I show up at his house, he will give me juice and chocolate. If I do not receive it, it is offensive to him. Like, you did not let me love you, how could you not, you know. Like, dad, I'm not five, but I still enjoy it, so I will receive, you know. Will not say no to dad. Anyway, so coming back to the story, there was a moment where in 2017, this was 2018, mid-2018, where this is just before I left to school as well. And I didn't think, I was like so far, like healed from all of those things. And there was a moment where, so I journal, okay? So I write all my journals, I put my journals out on my table as well. Like in my room, I'll just leave it out on the table. Like I don't hide my journals also. There are a lot of private things in there. I probably should. But then I mean, I address them all to my grandkids. So anyway, someone's going to read it. Like literally in my mind, I think anyway, my kids are going to read it. What's there to hide? You know, that's, but then I think it's wise to just save some things for later. You know, it's probably better they read it when you're dead and gone, you know, so not, nobody looks at you weird, you know. But anyway, long story short, my brother and I had gone out one weekend in the afternoon to do some work together, and Dad happened to come down to India to visit. And I think he walked into my room or some, I don't know what really happened, but he found out something, okay? He found something out and he was just like, oh. And for me, I just leave everything sprawled out in my room, so at least on the table. So he called up my brother Abel, that rhymed, and he said, hey, has Hannah been through this? Like this particular incident and this particular thing? And my brother knew everything, okay? So my brother's like my big sister. Even though he's a big brother, he's like my big sister. So I tell him everything. So he was on the phone. He looked at me. He's like, Dad, probably you should ask Hannah. And then what I heard Dad say over the phone just brought tears to my eyes. He said, no, I don't want to ask her. I don't want to hurt her. Which South Indian dad says that? The minute he said that, I just had tears in my eyes and my heart was just like pumping out of my chest. I'm like, I have to tell him. I have to go home and tell him. I want to cry now. Like I just wanted to tell Dad, you know, because I just felt so much love and so much protection. So I was like, no. I said, sorry, bro, I can't work with you. You need to drop me home now. So we got home and my dad is hilarious. I said, and I caught him and he was near the bathroom. I remember catching him and said, Dad, I want to tell you everything. He's like, no, please. Don't. Yes, you're fine. As long as you're fine. Just don't. I don't have to know. I'm like, Dad, I really want to tell you everything. He's like, oh my gosh, fine, child. You know? So I said, okay. I took him. And it was hilarious. I took him to the room and I said, I want to tell you, these are the boyfriends that I've had. This is all the... And he was just like, why do I need to know this? And I'm like, but I want you to know, Dad. And he's like, okay. And I think he took it all in his stride, you know. And he listened. He heard me out. He cringed and he heard me out. And then towards the end, I was just weeping. I said, Dad, I'm so sorry. Like, this is the journey that I've been on. I didn't think I needed to tell you. But since you found out, I mean, had to have this conversation then. He looked at me, and what Dad said in those moments will mark me for the rest of my life. And I feel like I carry that in me here, because I feel like those words were deposited in me, and I feel like I can literally pass that down to my children and also to the people around me. And he says this. The first thing he said was, Hannah, as a father, I would much rather add to your future joy than your past hurt. That I'm never going to bring this up ever again. He's like, you're completely forgiven. You are completely forgiven, you know? And he said, by the way, those things, those evidence or whatever that you have, just tear it up and throw it, because that's not you. And I'm looking at my dad, I'm like, oh. And I'm receiving, honestly, I can see the heart of the Father. I can see the heart of God the Father. You know, and he also says, Hannah, you are my child. I know you. You know, I know you're just like me. And God has forgiven me of much. And so I forgive you of much. And that was it. And that marked me. And I think that was, I didn't know I needed that till I got that. You know, I thought, okay, I got the forgiveness of the Lord, all of that. But something about having my dad just say, I forgive you. Oof. That was a setup for me. Because in the months to follow, I would have to have like give forgiveness to someone else that had did me wrong. And I remember I never had closure on that particular relationship. And the Lord always, before this thing came up, before I had to extend forgiveness to that particular person, the Lord always said, Hannah, character before closure. Character before closure. And he was developing my character. And I didn't understand. I said, why God, tell me now? Like, let that person come up to me and say, like, what happened now? But God is like, no, you need the character to handle the closure. So I said, okay. And I didn't expect anything. I wasn't even expecting the closure, honestly. I let the Lord develop my character. You know, whenever the bitterness came up, whenever the offense came up, I was like, Lord, here you go. I give up my right to be offended. I give up my right to be offended. Because I don't know. I couldn't be entitled also. Like, how long am I going to keep holding on to? There has to be an explanation for this, you know? So, okay, God, I give up my right. And then, as you would have it, the end of that year, this person writes me a long email and I get da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This is exactly what happened. And I'm like, in my spirit, I'm like, I knew it. But the first thing that actually came over me was, oh, how are you holding this in you for so long? I didn't even think about me. There's actually, that is also really the Lord, you know, because, I mean, your natural response could be, oh, I have been so betrayed. Poor me. But actually, in that moment, I think the Lord had worked on me enough for me to now be so healed to a point where I'm thinking of the other person and saying, oh my gosh, how did you carry that so, for the last 2 years, you've been carrying that with you, literally dead weight. You've been carrying that dead weight with you. And the person was like, I know I betrayed you. If you feel like, you know, you never want to talk to me again, that's fine, blah, blah, blah. I was healed. I was so healed by this time. I felt so much compassion. I felt the love of Jesus. Literally felt the love of Jesus, and I saw the face of my father. And so what I did was I called that person and I just smiled over WhatsApp video call. And this person just starts weeping and weeping. This person says, you know, you didn't have to say anything. I just felt embraced by your smile. I just felt embraced by the fact that, like, you know, you looked okay. And, like, you know, sometimes you don't even have to say much. When you enter a room, like, your spirit already speaks for itself. It's not in the way you carry yourself sometimes. It's what's inside always shines, actually, you know. So, forgiveness. I told you that story because we read about forgiveness and I thought about my dad. So forgive as quickly and completely as the master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It is your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Wear love. And let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other. In step with each other. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune. You know, sometimes in love, there are disagreements. Just because you disagree with someone doesn't mean you don't love them. So what keeps you in tune sometimes? I'd like to think maybe sometimes not even love, you know? Sometimes the person you love, you don't even want to be with them in the same room. There are days. But what keeps you in tune? The peace of Christ. When you are okay with being misunderstood, when you are okay with, you know, fine, you don't get it. You don't get me. We have different styles of leadership. But what matters most in this connection? What matters most? What matters most to protect this relationship is what? Peace. Right? So we keep the peace. Protect the peace at all costs. At all costs. You know, now I'm at this place, especially in relationship. I'm like, you know, peace above all else. That's your best gauge. That is your best gauge in any situation. Be it like a, you know, business decision, I feel, even like, you know, whatever. That peace that you get, that hits, that's a sweet spot. You know? He covers you with his peace. And let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. I love it. You know, a lot of times when we don't agree, I have faced this. I love to isolate, okay? When I don't agree, when I'm having a hard time, just withdraw, you know, sometimes into my room and then complain to the Lord, journal, listen to my music, be in my zone. Sometimes I hype myself up, you know, you are right, you were right, you know. I was right. Hallelujah, I was right. You know, keep telling myself that enough times and then show up back outside and be like, you were wrong, you know. We isolate ourselves sometimes just to prove that we were right. But I feel like, you know, a lot of times healing comes in community. Healing comes in just showing up sometimes. And, you know, in 2000, especially after mom passed, I went through this, I didn't know it at that point, but I went through this series of, season of depression, right? I think the best thing for me in that season would have just been to show up as I was. But I didn't, you know? And that's the thing, the enemy always tries to isolate you and he'll try to steal your voice in that process. Don't give in. Because there's a voice in you, there's a song in you, and I'm not even insinuating the fact that you can sing or speak. I'm actually saying that the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, lives down on the inside of you, and you need to protect that. You need to protect the Jesus Christ inside of you. You know? Protect the peace. Protect Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit peace. I'm not saying protect your peace, because sometimes He confronts your peace, because that is like complacency. Or that is like, you know, God, I don't want to confront this right now, but He will push. But He pushes because of love. Because He wants wholeness for you. Because He wants connection for you. You know? So none of this going off and doing your own thing. Cultivate thankfulness. Has any one of y'all noticed that in thankfulness, things just start increasing? And I'm not talking about the 5 loaves and 2 fish here. I'm just talking about generally in life. Have you, the more you thank God for something, it's like the more there's increase. I can't explain it. I don't have words for it. But I feel like, I think what happens, you know, for me is the gratitude of my heart just expands my heart. Suddenly my heart is enlarged, you know. And as my heart enlarges, it's like I've already in my mind and in my spirit, you know, manifested that space of like, just in my mind, I'm already thanking God. And I think thankfulness attracts increase, you know. I think also being thankful is a sign of a good steward. You know, sometimes as stewards, we think, okay, I have to organize this. I have to make this. I have to make that happen. I have to ensure that, you know, everyone's fine and like you're doing things. But you know, when Jesus entered the house of Mary and Martha, He regarded Mary as the better steward because she just sat and received. She was just thankful that He was there. And Martha was just like, this girl is not helping me in the kitchen and there's so much to do. And what did the Father say? She's chosen to do the better thing. Sometimes maybe being a good steward is appreciating the presence of your guest. And not running around trying to get them juice, not running. Ask them if they want water. But like, being present again is much more valuable than trying to make an impression sometimes. I feel like Martha was trying to also make an impression. Now when I think of it, it's the first time I'm sharing it. But like, sometimes we're too busy trying to make an impression where we just forget to stop and stay still and just appreciate the presence in the room. Appreciate the person in front of you, you know? All right. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. I love that. Let the word of Christ have the run of the house and give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. Sometimes, you know, it's like we're looking for spiritual revelations, you know, we call it a heavy revy, you know, and like sometimes we're looking for these heavy revies, but I love, you know, Message translation says profound, the gospel is spoken in profound common sense. Wow, mind blowing, common sense, drink water, you are dehydrated, you know, that kind of literally that much. Wow, God, that's so profound. Thank you, Lord. And I love that. I love that He says, instruct and direct one another using good common sense. Sometimes all we need is good common sense. We don't need a spiritual sign. Sometimes God's like, just, hey, live. Watch a movie. Be human. Like, do. You know, don't be all up in here. You know, so used to Christianese, so used to being Christian. And you know, the spiritual talk, you know, and using the language. Sometimes we just forget to just be yourself, you know? He shines through that. I think that's when he shows up most powerfully. When you acknowledge your human condition, you know? Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. He was 100% man and 100% God. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He faced temptation. He had emotions. But the power of God was displayed so, so majestically through him, through his human condition. He bled. He felt pain. You know, my dad prayed this really mind-blowing prayer the other day that like, I didn't tell him. Otherwise, he said, Father, the same people that accused you while watching you being nailed to a cross are the same people that followed you after your resurrection. And I was like, wow, yeah. Because the same people that saw Jesus in his human condition to a cross, you know, are the same people that after his resurrection started following him. Sometimes, you know, it's good that people have seen you in your human condition, in your lowest, seen you cry, seen you mess up, because when the power of God is finally displayed on your life, they'll know for a matter of fact that wasn't you, that definitely was God that raised you from the dead. That definitely must be God on your side to raise you from the dead after 3 whole days. Are you kidding me? Oh, there definitely must be a God. We saw the nails go through his hands. We saw him bleed. We saw him cry. We saw the soldiers spit on him. We saw the crowds ridicule him. We were partaking in that. And this man rises up on the third day. Oh, there must be a God. And the fear of God falls on them. Why? And that's when the reverence for Jesus comes. Why? Because then, only after death and resurrection, actually only after the resurrection did they acknowledge him as the Son of God. He was saying he was the Son of God from when he showed up. You know? But none of y'all listened. I'm just kidding. Nobody listened. You know? But when God made his glory so evident in the life of Jesus, raising him from the dead, people must have freaked out. The soldiers would have all been believers, you know, like, I mean, incredible, right? So even in your own life, you know, sometimes we think, you know, God, I just need to run away from this place, like this hometown, these people that have seen me cry. These people that have seen me in my lowest, these people that have like seen me in the dirt. Sometimes, you know, they say, yeah, prophet's not, respected in his own home, or like, you know, familiarity kills and like, but you know, sometimes it's a good thing because it's not about you. It's about God's glory being displayed in your weakness. It's about God's glory being displayed in your brokenness, right? He shines through the cracks and it's okay. It's okay. It's okay that your spouse is very familiar with you. So they know when God shows up, wow, that definitely God is not you. I know you too well, you know. Isn't that beautiful? It's okay. The familiarity is okay. Sometimes you're like, God, I just need a breath of fresh air. I need something new. I need something. No, I mean, I don't think you do. You just need God. You just need him to shine through the brokenness and shine through the cracks. It ain't about you, boo. All right. So let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. And give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Sing your hearts out to God. Even if you can't, use your voice. And I feel like the demonstration of just singing is just like letting praise arise, letting adoration arise. Just sometimes, you know, just acknowledge God for who he is. Sometimes in the stress and in the mess, sometimes you just need to stop and say, God, you're good. God, you're amazing. God, you're still on the throne. Just acknowledging God for who He is actually helps us center ourselves and be more at peace even in our situation. You know, and it helps yield also. It helps surrender also in that moment. Especially when you find yourself stressed, just raise up a song. Raise up a song. You know, and sometimes we're so used to putting on worship music and letting, you know, Brian Johnson and like Bethel music and Hillsong music do it for us. Sometimes you need to do it. You don't need music to facilitate a feeling in the presence, you know? And we're so, I mean, even with our culture, we're so used to leaning to the music for that chord to play and then the hands to arise. You know, T.D. Jakes says this really nicely. He says, you know, if Jesus Christ had to come to church today, we'd have to teach him how to do church, you know? Because he'd be like, Jesus, raise your hands for the chorus. This is the build up. God, don't, that's a verse, Jesus. Put your hands down. And then when the drummer goes, then start jumping, you know? And it's so funny because he's right. He's, I know how to do church. You know, and we've built this culture around it where we're so dependent on the music to suddenly invoke the presence. Well, God, honestly, it's as simple as showing up with crickets at the background. Like, honestly, even if there's nothing, just show up and you feel His presence, you know, and like Elijah in the whisper of the wind. In the whisper of the wind, maybe sometimes it's in the rain and the thunder, but you know His voice. You are His sheep. You hear the Lord well. You hear His voice well. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be sitting in this church. You are hungry for Him. Your natural, renewed nature in the Lord is to hunger for God. And so protect that hunger. Whatever gets in the way, get rid of it. Protect that hunger that you have for God. You are hungry for Him. Don't let the enemy lie to you saying, oh, I have to be more hungry, more spiritual. You are inherently hungry for God. You are. So protect that hunger. Sing your hearts out to God. I like this. And let every detail in your lives, your words, your actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. He's just a doting father that wants to be involved. He just wants to be involved. And He loves it when His kids acknowledge Him and involve Him. You don't have to do this life by yourself. Loneliness is a big fat lie. It's a big fat lie. Sometimes, honestly, it's only where we go in our minds that is lonely. Where are you going in your mind that is lonely? And when we walk through, you know, even in the future, even if when we recollect about the past, are you going there with Jesus? Are you going there with a sanctified mind? Or are you going there alone? When you are in the present, like when you feel all these feelings, invite Jesus in. Then you feel His wraparound presence around you. You know, because sometimes we like, you know, sometimes some of us like feeling sad. We like putting that sad music on and like crying. I'm like, I'm so emo right now. This is my movie scene moment. This is, you know, sometimes some of us like a little to indulge in that ice cream, cry. Oh, this feels so good. I love feeling so bad, you know, but snap out of it. Sometimes you have to snap out of it. You know, indulge if you want to, but don't stay there. You know, because sometimes, honestly, the demonic sits on the realm of your emotions. Because so obviously they can't possess, but they can oppress if you give in. So be careful with where you give your emotions to. He's compassionate towards your condition, and He longs to give rest to His children. So let's just stretch out our hands and say, Father God, we just yield to You once more this morning. Father, we tell You everything. We're laying bare before You saying, God, we have nothing much to offer. We don't have it all figured out. But here is the unfinished work. And we give this to You. We give this as a sacrifice, God. And we ask that You inhabit it, that Your fire would fall on this, Lord. Let Your fire fall, God. inhabit your people. Inhabit this room. Inhabit your temple, God. We are yours. And some of y'all, you just have to resurrender that thing all over again and say, God, I'd give it back to you all over again. I've given it to you once. I've given it to you twice. You can take it again. You can take it the fourth and the fifth time, God. All I need is your presence. I just need you to walk in the room, God. You can take it, God. Give me the sensitivity of your presence. I would not trade that for the world. Oh, what would I do if your spirit lifted, Lord? That is the moment I would truly die, if his spirit lifted away. So, Lord, we never want that to happen. And so we invite you closer than ever before, God, to just come and wrap your arms around us. Some of y'all just need the Father's embrace. So just receive the Father's embrace this morning. You're so good, God. You embrace me in my human condition. You are so good, God. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. Let's just rise to our feet and let's just turn our hearts toward him. Turn our hearts and surrender toward him, to just worship him. Let your song arise. Just worship the Father. Just lay it all at his feet. Lay it all at his feet, child. Lay it all at his feet. We come before you, laying it all at your feet, Jesus. We lay it all at your feet. We give it to you. Give it to you. We give our burdens to you, Jesus. Let your song arise. Let the incense arise. Let your song arise. Sing out to him. Sing in the spirit. Sing out your own song. Jesus, I love. This is fertile soil, Holy Spirit. This is fertile ground, Holy Spirit. You can come plant your seeds. You can come uproot the soil. You can come do your work. You can plow. You can plant. You can harvest, God. We are good ground, God. This is good soil, God. Come, Holy Spirit.
Give you.
Sacrifice, Holy Spirit. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world.